Morning, Church. So I have to take after my father-in-law and come up with a joke, and I thought it would be appropriate. My son gave me a joke, so here we go. Joke of the day before we get serious. Why were the teacher's eyes crossed? Because she couldn't control her pupils. Thank you, Micah. All right. On a more serious note, our first reading comes from Proverbs 3, starting at verse 11. And the unique thing about Proverbs 3:11 is I had Proverbs 3:11 through 18 on my locker at work for over a decade before I switched into the role I have now. But it was a reminder to start my day off right at work, and it was on the outside of my locker so that everybody could see it as well. And hopefully I did that not as a righteous act, but just so that they could see what true wisdom and understanding does and how beneficial it is. And without that scripture, I don't think it would have got me to where I am today. And it really focused me on Matthew 6:33, which is, "Seek first my kingdom and my righteousness, and all these things will be given to you." And before that, all the things are the worldly things that God blesses us with, but it's more so a deeper understanding of where you are, you know, in your day. So it doesn't matter where you are in your day, but if you first seek his kingdom and righteousness, it doesn't matter what's going on, seek his will, and all will be taken care of. So let's start our scripture. Proverbs 3, starting at verse 11, and we're going to 23. "My son, do not despise the Lord's discipline, and do not resent his rebuke, because the Lord disciplines those he loves, as a father the son he delights in. Blessed is the man who finds wisdom, the man who gains understanding, for she is more profitable than silver and yields better returns than gold. She is more precious than rubies. Nothing you desire can compare with her. Long life is in her right hand, and in her left hand are riches and honor. Her ways are pleasant ways, and all her paths are peace. She is a tree of life to those who embrace her. Those who lay a hold of her will be blessed. By wisdom, the Lord laid the earth's foundations. By understanding, he set the heavens in place. By his knowledge, the deeps were divided, and the clouds let drop the dew. My son, preserve sound judgment and discernment. Do not let them out of your sight. They will be life for you, an ornament to grace your neck. Then you will go on your way in safety, and your foot will not stumble." Our second scripture comes from Deuteronomy 6, starting at 6. All right, Deuteronomy 6, 6 through 9. "These commandments that I give you today are to be upon your hearts. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road, when you lie down and when you get up. Tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them on your foreheads. Write them on the door frames of your houses and on your gates." And lastly, our New Testament reading is from Luke 15, one verse, verse 20. Luke 15. And this is just comes after the lost son, or prodigal son. 15:20. "So he got up and went to his father. But while he was still a long way off, the father saw him and was filled with compassion for him. He ran to his son, threw his arms around him, and kissed him." Here ends the readings.
Today, like we did on Mother's Day, we've asked a few of our young men and men to share some thoughts about Father's Day and fathers in general. And I think Parker's coming up today, yes? Is the this ready to go? Good.
Reasons I think my dad is great. My dad works hard to provide for me and my brothers and is always ready to work hard at home. Even after a long day at work, he will play catch with me. He helps coach my baseball team and helps me practice wrestling and football. The night he is home, he prays with me before bed. He always believes in me and helps me make good choices. He teaches me to be brave and protect others. I love my dad.
Do you need a chair? Tom Davila was asked to share fatherhood right now, what it's like.
So my dad's not here. But maybe a gift I can give him anyway is the gift of understanding. So I remember being a kid and I would let my mail pile up sometimes, oftentimes. And what would happen inevitably is that my dad would empty the garbage and then I would go through my mail and fill up the garbage. And that used to frustrate him because he'd be like, I just emptied this. Who filled this all up? And in my mind, I'm thinking to myself, Dad, it was garbage. Like, what did you want me to do with it? Where did you want me to put it? Right? In all my wisdom at that point. And then I had children. And I emptied the garbage one day. And I came back like an hour later, and the garbage is full, right? And you know what came out of my mouth, right? I just emptied this. Who filled it? Oh, no. I had said the exact same thing that my father said so many years ago, and it was so illogical and so whatever, right? So even though he's not here with us today, he gets a gift of understanding today because I now walked a little while in his shoes. So as I think about being a dad and raising a family, this morning my son comes up to me while I'm sitting at the kitchen table and he says, so Dad, did you like prepare something for today? Are you gonna wing it? And I was like, I prepared something. And he's like, oh, okay. Who's it on? I reassured him, not him, not any of them. As I go through being the middle of being a dad, I'm struck with the fact that I still have so much to learn. I need to glean all the wisdom that I can from the Word, throw myself on God's mercy every day, with the knowledge of the fact that I haven't figured it out and I don't know that I ever will. But I can take comfort in the fact that God loves my kids more than I do. And it's hard to even imagine, right, that that's possible, right? Someone you held and rocked and has looked to you to feed them and carry them and all those things that a dad gets to do that I love, that I joy in. God loves them more than that. And so it's good to know that while I'm far from perfect, he's not. He is perfect and he loves them perfectly. He acts and reacts with them perfectly, which I don't have it in me to do yet. Someday on the other side of heaven, I will. But I take comfort in that. And I'm hopeful because of the fact that that love that God pours on them and then he pours on me and us is perfect and it's filled with patience and forgiveness. And I suppose that we, all of us, need a lot of that, whether we're parents or children or anything else. The scripture says, in 1 Peter, above all, keep loving one another earnestly, since love covers a multitude of sins. God covers all of our sins, fathers and sons, mothers and daughters, and today I am grateful for that fact.
Thank you, Tom. And the last one we asked to share a few thoughts on Grandpa-ism is Paul Barr. So he said he would be willing to do that. So he's going to come up and do that.
When Sandy asked me to do this, she asked me to just share what it's like to be the father of children and the grandfather of children. And this is what it's like. Yesterday when I walked into Mike's house to practice the songs, he said, go get, Miles, go get Grandpa's Father's Day present. And so he ran in the bedroom and he came out and said to me, Happy Father's Day, as he gave me this hat to wear. And it dawned on me that this hat is Father's Day. Because Father's Day, to me, it's legacy. You know, when we get together with our financial planner, they want to talk about what you're going to do with the estate that you have. Maybe some of you have gone through that, where you've had to do an estate plan. And what is it that you want to leave to your kids or your grandchildren? And that got me to thinking about what it is that is most important to me to leave to our children and our grandchildren. And it dawned on me, it's right up here. See, because this hat that they gave me, it's got three little things on it. It has a golf club, because Lindsay told me you can have these custom made. So she got golf for me on there. And then they got the word Pop on there, because that's what I am affectionately known as to our grandchildren. And then they have a cross on there. So anytime that I'm going to play golf, I'm hoping somebody says to me, what do you have on your hat and why do you have it on there? Because it will give me the opportunity to tell them what's important to me. If we had a screen up there today, I would share with you a picture that sat on my Facebook page, but it's a picture of legacy. It's a picture of three of my brothers, two of whom are now in heaven, and my dad before he passed away at the age of 97. And the legacy that we have comes from this Pop. And if I was going to define it in three words, it would be love and service and forgiveness. And it would be love because he taught us more than anybody else that above all else, we are to love God and love each other. And that's what he wanted for all of us. But then he said that, you know, you've each been given gifts. Well, he had seven children. I have one sister, five brothers, two of whom are with the Lord. And of the seven of us, some of you probably know that all of us went into Lutheran education, managed to marry wives and husbands, six of whom went into Lutheran education, have 20 grandchildren, 12 of whom are in Lutheran education. And so we have a place in our little dining area in our home that says, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Because that's what we learned from my dad, was that we would serve the Lord. And life is a life of love and service, and it's a life of forgiveness. And it's a life of forgiveness because it took me a long time to learn how to forgive my dad. You know, when Lene got up here, for Mother's Day, she talked about being angry at her mother. And I spent about 30 years angry at my dad because I played football, basketball, baseball, ran track in high school, played football, basketball in college, and my dad never came to one of my games. And when I said something to him, he even scheduled choir practice on Friday nights, game nights, when I said something to him about, you're never at my games, he would say to me, I'm working for the Lord. And I wanted to yell at him, well, that's not good enough. Except I was afraid of the lightning that would come out of the sky and strike me down at the time. But it took me a long time to realize that you don't have to have somebody say to you, I'm sorry, in order for you to say to them, I forgive you. And I look back on it now and I say, you know, my dad was doing what came to his calling. He was being a pastor. That's what he did. You know, and my misplaced anger at the time taught me that there's no reason to hold on to things that need to be forgiven, that we have the freedom in God because we are forgiven and forgiven children of God to forgive no matter what. And so what do I hope? I hope that when I see this hat and remember it, that the legacy I leave to my children and to my grandchildren, the blessing that I have, is a legacy of love for each other and for God, a legacy of service to the Lord and his church, and a legacy of forgiveness so that they can live together in peace. And for that, I'm always going to be grateful to my dad.
Thank you, Paul. I'd like to invite kids to come down. Keep coming. Keep coming. All right, you can sit there. We have room here. You can squeeze over there, honey. Thank you, Parker. That was very nice. Appreciated that. Very good. Sit still. Why? I told you so. How come I get to say that? Well, have you ever been told that by mom and dad? Stop fighting with your brother and sister. Why? Yeah. And then they say, I told you so, right? So, Brian, bring your wife on up. We're going to practice a little I told you so with the kids. Here we go. I got a mommy and a daddy. I want the kids that belong to them to stand up.
Be honest.
Yeah. Yeah. No, just the ones that officially belong to them. All right. Get over here. Stand in front of them. All right. Now, you kids are so perfect. Your mom and dad never have to tell you to stop fighting or clean your room or put stuff away or take your dishes to the sink or, right? Have they ever had to say to you, do that, and then you said, I don't want to? Or have you ever said, why? Have they ever said this? I
told you so.
And I'm the
boss. Oh, no.
That's honest. That's good. Now, here's what I want you to learn in the sermon today. It doesn't stop there. A good family understands. Now, watch this. Turn around and face the altar. There you go. Stay behind him. You see this book?
Yeah.
You know who speaks to your mommy and daddy?
God.
Who's bigger than mommy and daddy?
God.
Who tells your mommy and daddy when to spank kids?
God.
Or when to hug kids? Or when to help them clean their rooms?
God.
Yeah. If you've got a good mom and dad, they're learning that lesson too. You see, you are being watched over, protected, and loved by your mom and dad. You know, if you got knocked on the head and you were in the hospital, you know who would for sure come and see you? Your mom and your dad. Yeah. Even if you were going to be that way maybe for the rest of your life, they would take care of you because they love you that much. Now, here's the thing I want to see, have us learn in the sermon. Moms and dads also have to listen to God. And that's the hard part for moms and dads. But they have a boss too. And your dad said, I'm the boss. And he is. But then what does he say when he talks to God?
You're
who does he tell? Yes, say it louder.
You're the boss.
You got it. Good job. Thank you all. It was wonderful. And you guys get candy too because you both did such a great job. And don't walk away thinking you don't like sweets and treats here. Here we go, Mom and Dad. Take something here. Take two, sure.
I'm just trying to think which
decisions. All right. So in my sermon today, no candy for you. I told you so.
Okay, okay.
Yeah, you guys, you know that. All right, ladies first. You can let him in. All right, gentlemen. You're welcome. You're welcome. Hurry up, gentlemen. It's going away. It's going away. No, no, just one. One. No, one. Here you go, honey. Pick what you'd like. That's good. Here, take for Dad, too. There you go. Whoop. You have to excuse me. I grew up in a very strange era of time where Father knew best. Do any of you remember Father Knows Best? Where Dad was actually treated like a human being and respected, and he would solve problems and love his nasty little kids when the guys would do this thing, the girl would do that, and the little one would be the snotty youngest, and somehow they all worked it out. And he always wore a suit with a tie, like I've always done at home. Oh, you want a different one?
Yeah.
Okay, hon. That's okay. They get to do that. There you go. That was chocolate, too. That's my favorite. Amen. In that era, Father Knows Best, you could at least watch TV with your children, or you could surrender your children to the TV without all the other gobbledygook and the family attacks that are taking place now, where you will search diligently to try and find where a father demonstrates any level of responsibility, common sense, and love. You know, some of the texts I picked today were specifically for fathering, and they were to remind us of what it really takes to be fathered by the Lord, but also to father our own children. In other words, even if you did not have a perfect father, you always had God the Father who was watching out over you, taking care of you, and desiring to bless your life. And so in these different texts that we've got here sitting in front of us, we have to understand how important it is to recognize what a gift parents are. I was going to ask the kids, how many of you have a mom and dad at home? And I think most of them would answer yes. Do you understand, kids, how lucky you are? How fortunate you are? 85% of the people in prison, 85% come from fatherless homes. Do you understand some of the implications? When you begin to recognize these things and these statistics, they start to blow you away. 1/4 of the people born and living in the United States are raised without a father ever. And you go to the next statistic, and the U.S. Census points out, it says this, 33% of children today born in the surrounding areas of cities are born without a father, or born from parents who've never married or not married. 50% in the cities never have their parents get married. I remember the first time I was teaching school, and I said, would you please go home? We're going to do a study on marriage and divorce and other things, and you're not going to ask me. I want you to go find 3 married couples, and I want you to ask them this question. What do you think makes a marriage work, And what do you personally believe makes it fall apart? I had hands going up. I don't know any married people. They weren't lying. They weren't being deceptive. I had to say, well, is your pastor married? Yeah, he's married. Well, at least go and ask him and his wife. Do you understand the kind of culture that we're struggling through, that we're working with, that you're living in and you're setting examples in and you're demonstrating? Obviously, God didn't care that Father Knows Best wore a suit and a tie even when he was out in the garage working with the lawnmower. All right? But his point ultimately was that in this particular context, you could still find programs and television which allowed you to be a human family where you still, in many cases, in many of the programs, you went to church. You served God. You didn't hook up with a girl on the second date or dump her by the third if you hadn't hooked up. That's what children are being raised and taught and encouraged to understand. And in the middle of it, we have a Father's Day where the best news is my Heavenly Father is faithful, good, and true, and knows exactly what I mean. Now, I certainly give thanks for my earthly father. I really do. I just think of all the things that he did for me in my life. And so I don't want it just to be me tooting the horn of the kind of quality man my father was. But more importantly, I want you to keep in mind your Heavenly Father as we begin to look at some of these texts that we had you, Brian, read. From Proverbs 3, my son, don't despise the Lord's discipline and do not resent his rebuke. Because the Lord disciplines those he loves as a father the son he delights in. What's really the point, ultimately? God's trying to look at you and saying, I'm not going to do it your way. I love you, but your way is not going to work out the way you think. I know you think you're in love. I know you think this is going to go in this direction and you'll live happily ever after. I'm warning you, you're breaking too many rules, too many guidelines, too many things I put in place to say I love you. And in the middle of it, you get angry at God. You get disappointed with God, and God goes, discipline is really for those who I love and I care about. And that's what fathers struggle with. It's hard to be a disciplinarian. It's hard to stand your ground in situations. And it's hard to do it with both the toughness that you have as well as the tenderness. That's why the last text that I had them read today comes out of Luke 15, verse 20. And when the son came to his senses, he got up and went to his father, and his father saw him. It doesn't just mean, oh, look, there's my boy. He saw right through. He saw this child coming home defeated, ashamed, embarrassed, ridiculed, humiliated by the so-called people he called his friends, and everything else he saw in that son coming home. And then it says, and the father ran down. And it goes on from there, and it says these words, saw him, he was filled with compassion. He ran to his son, threw his arms around him, and kissed him. That's the love God the Father has for me as a successful failure of a father. I got this many successes, this many failures, and a few that I can't even figure out yet. What's his point? When I see you, Bruce, recognizing your need, I run to you before you can even get the words out, because I know what you need, and I throw my arms around you and I kiss you. Now, that's not meant to be perverted or, you know, like the French kiss, cheek, cheek kind of thing. This is, I love my kid that much. But he's a horrible child. Yes. He wished you were dead. Yes. He rejected you as father. Yes. He betrayed. He lied. Yes. His point, what's his point ultimately? And God comes out, grabs hold of that kid, pulls him to himself, falls on his neck, he says, and he won't let go. I won't let go of this kid. Well, who's the kid? I'm the kid. Who's the father? My heavenly father. If I get into woulda, shoulda, couldas, I would have so much that I would be ashamed of or inconsistent with, that even on my best day, I was not perfect by any means as a father or anything else. And in the middle of it, God throws his arms around my neck and he holds me close and he kisses me repeatedly, reassuring me, I love you, I'm concerned, I will bless you, I will be with you in these circumstances. I want to meet those needs that you have in your life. And so as we start to put this picture of our Heavenly Father together on Father's Day, the last little text that I had him read was the one that comes out then out of Deuteronomy 6. And he read a bunch of verses. I'm only going to tack a few of them, starting at verse 4. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. This is called the Shema. We call it Shema, but it's just Shema in Hebrew. And this is what the key people recited every day. This is what a good Jewish person recited twice a day. In the morning and in the evening, hear, O Israel, the Lord is God, our Lord, God is one. That kind of phrasing that he was using is so critically important that they lived under it. They developed this thing that they eventually were called mezuzahs. And a mezuzah had four Bible sections written in it, written in their own handwriting. They're very, very small, little boxes in many cases. Exodus 13, 1 to 10. Exodus 13, 11 to 16, Deuteronomy 6, 4 to 9, and Deuteronomy 11, 13 to 21. And they all said basically this: love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. These commandments that I give you today are to be upon your hearts. Impress them. It means it, pierce them into your kids. It doesn't mean, but impress you. Drive it, that kind of an impress. Impress them into your children. Talk about them when you sit at home, when you walk along the way, when you lie down, and when you get up. Tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them on your foreheads. Write them on the doorposts or doorframes of your house and on your gates. If you go over to Israel, I've been told that you can find many of the houses that have what are called mezuzahs. And they're little boxes that are on the side of the door that you touch going in and going out of that door to remind you, you belong to God. You're going out into the world and you represent Him. And your heart needs to be set right and your mind's got to get right, because otherwise you're about there doing all the things the rest of the world does. And so it's that continuous thing. And then they sometimes wore these little boxes on their foreheads. I was going to tape something on the kids' foreheads and see if they made it through the church, but I did not do that. They're called tefillin. And these little boxes that they have are the same thing. And they bounce a little bit to remind you whose you are. Who do you belong to? Well, why would I wear that? Because it's like wearing a wedding ring when you want to have and commit adultery. You take it off so everybody thinks you're not married. You cheat even on yourself in some stupid, unbelievable ways, lying to yourself. And so this thing covering, and they also tie them around their arms so that they're there to remind them, who do I belong to? Who's your daddy? And you begin to recognize, here's God speaking a father's heart to children who are all over the playing field, right? Some of us had a good week. Some of us had a horrible day. Some of us are struggling with a relationship, a friendship, a marriage, a situation. And in the middle of it, the Heavenly Father says these things to you. I still am here. I belong to you, and you belong to me. And I will watch you. And you feel that tap against your forehead. And you start thinking lust or bitterness or anger or hatred and unforgiveness. And that bangs against your head and said, I have forgiven you all your sins. I run when I see your need, and I meet you where your need is, because that's how much I love you. And I kiss you repeatedly so that you understand the intimacy of the love I have for you, my child. And you begin to realize Father's Day is this unbelievable celebration of the gift of not only our earthly fathers or fatherhood in general, it's the celebration of the gracious gift of the Heavenly Father, where we begin to understand he understood things that I only have begun to recognize as an old guy. Like Paul was sharing, how many years do you live with a hurt, an anger, a disappointment, or bitterness for finally the Spirit just goes, I love you, Paul. I love you, Bruce. I care about your situation. Forgive as I have forgiven you. And you feel the Heavenly Father wrap his arms around you and kiss you because you're that much of a treasure to him. And so as we finish off this Father's Day, my key point ultimately is I want more than anything else for us to grow in our appreciation and love of our Heavenly Father, to recognize the tenderness with which you're viewed and the inconsistencies that he's overcome in the children of Israel, in his own disciples, in my life, your life, Paul's, anybody that shared their lives with you this morning, all the things that God is doing, he goes, I wrap my arms around you. I see right through into your deepest need, and you are my treasure. I love you that much. Pray with me if you would. Lord, your grace is beyond comprehension. Your forgiveness beyond anything we can comprehend. So I'm asking, Lord Jesus, that in your love, your mercy and forgiveness, that you'd speak to our hearts. Make this Father Day a day where we appreciate and honor the fathers that you've given us, where we appreciate and honor the privilege of being fathers, and even the challenges and struggles that come with it. And then appreciate and honor you, our Heavenly Father, who you've given us the privilege of calling you Daddy, to understand the intimacy and the love that you have for us. May your kisses and your warmth and the strength of your arms speak to our hearts today and rescue us and set us free. We pray this in your name, Lord.